Radio friends, today I want to give a brief explanation of the Christian faith. Those of you who know that faith might ask, how is it possible to explain the truth of Christianity in 20 minutes? And I concede your point. My explanation today can be but an incomplete summary at best. The Bible itself says that the truth of Jesus Christ constitutes unsearchable riches. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. And the Apostle Paul, in another book of the Bible called Romans, in the 11th chapter of that book, is awed. He's stunned over the immense glory of the Christian gospel. Having in the first 11 chapters of the book of Romans explained the gospel, that is, the good news of God's wonder work in saving sinners through his Son, Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul, in effect, sits back and he says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways, past finding out. In effect, he says that he had barely scratched the surface of the truth of God himself and the magnitude of his salvation in Jesus Christ. The truth of Christianity is immense because it's the truth of God. And who can tell God? The Bible is the record of the infinite depth of truth because it is written by the infinite and the almighty God. And those who by grace know the living true God cannot but stand in awe of him and bow in worship. Men today amass knowledge, boast of mega RAM memory, build libraries with tens of thousands of books, pride themselves over the storehouse of their knowledge, but God says, what is this compared to me? The God who says through the prophet Isaiah that the nations of the world in their power and glory are all to him less than the drop he would find in a bucket. Yet, at the same time, the Christian faith is clear, lucid, and knowable. It's the truth of God's love and grace, which opens our hearts that we might know him and believe in him. A child can know the truth of the Christian faith, and by grace, many children do. And the Bible says that when a child by grace knows the Christian faith, they become wiser than all the world's wise men who would reject and scorn the truth of Christianity. The Apostle Paul, writing to his spiritual son Timothy, in another book of the Bible says that from a child Timothy had known the Holy Scriptures, which were able to make him wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Now today, the audience that I have in mind is not necessarily those who have an acquaintance with the Christian faith, not those who know him and love him because God first loved you, but rather I speak to those who have little or perhaps no knowledge of the truth of eternal life that is in Jesus Christ. Perhaps a friend of yours gave you a tape of this message. Or perhaps you're traveling right now on an expressway and tuning through the different stations, you have come to this channel. I speak then to those who are unchurched, those who have not received a definite, clear instruction of the Christian faith. What is the Christian faith? A few points in answer to that. The first is this. The Christian faith is the truth of the only living God. The Christian church serves the only true and living God. And God himself declares that all other gods, small g, are but the imagination of men. We read again in the prophet Isaiah chapter 45 verse 5, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. Returning to this point in verse 21, the prophet says, there is no God beside me, a just God and a Savior, and there's none beside me. And then listen to these words. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. God there is calling and demanding that he be believed as the only Savior on this basis, that there is no other God, no other possible Savior. The Christian faith, then, declares that there are not two or three or four or a thousand gods. There are not two or three almighty eternal beings, but there is one. The Christian faith declares that the popular opinion is not correct. The opinion which tries to solve the conflict between various beliefs in different gods by saying, well, there probably is one God. He is simply called by different names, to the Greek Zeus and to others by other names, and so on and so on. Oh no. The true God, being God and being all-knowing and wise, certainly knows his own name and knows how to teach about himself. He has a name. His name is Jehovah, the I Am That I Am, the only living true God. There are no other gods beside him, and he knows how to make himself known. He does that through the Bible, his own word, and by his Spirit, bringing the truth of the Bible to a sinner's heart. And he says, look to me. Look to God alone. There's no one else who can save you but the God proclaimed in the Christian faith. Listen to him in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 39. He speaks to you. See now, he says, that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand, for I lift up my hand to heaven and say, I live forever. The Christian faith declares the truth that God is God alone. You see, the truth is not the way it is portrayed by many today. It would be portrayed this way, that Christian people are the type of people who need to believe in a God, and there are other people who express that human basic need, we are told, by believing in another God. And then there are the sort of people who are more self-reliant and don't need the crutch of a God and believe in no God. So they're, according to the popular opinion, various types of people. But basically two, those who feel a need to trust in some God and those who don't. That is not true. There are indeed two kinds of people. They are these. Those who, by the grace of the living God, believe in the God of the Bible, the Savior. And those who trust in an idol, a false God. And those idols are many. It can be yourself, it can be your greed, it can be sex, it can be fashion, it could be a statue carved out of rock. Christianity proclaims one glorious truth. There is one God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, the living and the true God. Know him, trust in him, follow him, worship him. Do not place your trust in anyone or thing other than him. For all, Psalm 34, who place their trust in him, shall never be desolate. But perhaps you're thinking, this sounds a little radical, especially in the light of the political correct mentality today. Maybe you think that there is safety in the idea that while Christianity has a God, there are other gods too, and while I would choose the Christian God, I must not say on this program that there are no other gods. Perhaps you think that if I were to say that, and I say that on the basis of God's word, there are no other gods. But perhaps you hear that as a denial of the inalienable right of man to pick the God he wants. Well, let me answer from the word of God. There is no safety except in the true God. False gods bring eternal disappointment. Only the true and living God, the Father of Jesus Christ, the God of the Bible, only He can save, and there are no others. And if you serve anyone other than the true God, it is a vain idol. It is no act of love on my part to say that I grant you the supposed right to choose or make a God for yourself. That's no love on my part. Love on my part is to declare the truth. God is the true God. Don't misunderstand. The Christian faith is not advanced by physical force, and whenever it has been, it was not the Christian faith that was advanced. The Christian faith is not advanced by making a law that everyone has to serve and worship God. I'm going to come to this in a moment. There's only one way to know God. There's only one way to believe in God. God! God by His Spirit and His Word must convict you in His heart. In your heart. Not human force, not human arguments. The God, who is the true and living God, who you would deny, and I would deny. This God must give us to believe in Him by a wonder work in our hearts. The work that only He can do, for He is God, and only God can give life to believe. But I want to tell you more about Him. The true God that we proclaim in the Christian faith on the basis of God's Word is eternal. He has no beginning and no end. He's almighty. The book of the Bible called Psalms teaches this so precious, in such a precious manner. In His hands are earth's deep places. His the strength of all the hills. He's a holy God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. He's a sovereign God. He rules over all things. Our God is in the heavens, says the psalmist, 115. He hath done whatever He hath pleased. God controls everything and directs it all for His own purpose. He upholds all things because He created all things in the beginning, and now He, by His power, holds them up. And you are answerable to Him. You cannot find peace of soul. You cannot find life. You cannot find joy except in Him. And anything that you would call peace, life, and joy, apart from the true God, is emptiness, a delusion, and vanity. What is your chief end? By that I mean, what is your sole purpose in life? Is your sole purpose self-realization, fulfillment of your potential? Is your whole purpose that you leave a little bit of yourself behind? No. The sole purpose of life is to know this God, to bow down to Him, to trust in Him, and to find in Him all things sufficient. And He confronts you, for He is the Creator. He is God. And He calls you to know Him. Christian faith declares that God is God, but it declares, secondly, the truth about man. And once again, it's only the Christian faith which can teach you the truth about man. All other beliefs lie about man. Humanism or evolution, they lie about who man is. They tell you he evolved and therefore is ruled by self-determination. You did not evolve. You did not come from some pool of slime. Your ancestry does not date to a Big Bang or a gorilla. But God made man. Genesis 2, verse 7, God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into him the breath of life. God made you physically, your body, in all its wonder work, and God made man spiritually. He made man originally, spiritually, good, to know and to love, to serve and to glorify Him. He made a man called Adam and gave him a wife called Eve and placed him in the Garden of Eden where they could leap in their hearts and serve and love God. But what happened to man? Well, now we are evil. We are filled with disease. We have envy, greed, hate. We have all types of woe. What happened? Sin. The first man, Adam, willfully sinned. He disobeyed God. He was tempted to believe that good for him would be found outside of the will of God. And through his disobedience, all have been made sinners. The Bible declares, Romans 5, verse 12, for by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin. And so death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. In Adam, all die. Through Adam, you are a sinner. You say, well, what is a sinner? Well, that word means that you missed the mark of God and His glory. The Bible says, Romans 3, verse 23, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's your problem. Your problem is sin. And sin which is made plain in the light of God's law, the Ten Commandments. God stands before you with what is right in His Ten Commandments. You are to have Him as your God. You are to worship Him. You are never to take His name in vain. You are to remember the Sabbath day. You are to honor your parents and all in authority. You are to love your neighbor. You are to live a chaste life. You are to respect the property of others. You are not to say evil things. You are not to covet anything that God has not given you. And in the light of those Ten Commandments, you are a guilty sinner. And you stand exposed before Him as having transgressed the very purpose of your creation, and having transgressed His commandment. But you see, the Christian faith now alone proclaims the truth of the answer to man's sin. For the Christian faith, in the third place, is the truth of the gospel, of the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Bible declares, is God's eternal Son. And He was sent of the Father into our human flesh, born of a virgin called Mary. He did that as God's eternal Son so that He might bear the sin of all those who were given to Him of God. For the Bible says that God, out of grace, chose those who He would save and entrusted them to Jesus Christ and gave Christ to bear their sin for them. Jesus Christ is a man. A full man, a true man, and He is God, God and man in one. And He brought on the cross of Calvary a perfect sacrifice for sin. That is, on the cross, He actually paid the penalty of the sins of God's people, so that in Him is salvation. He delivers from the greatest evil, which is sin and eternal death. And He brings unto the highest good, which is God, to know God, to love God, and to live with God forever. No one else can save. And apart from this salvation, you would be a wretch, a poor pauper. You would have nothing, nothing but death and eternal ruin. But in Christ, there is salvation. In no one else than Christ. The Bible says, Acts 4, verse 12, that there is salvation in no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus saves. As the mighty Son of God who is risen from the dead, He gives life into the hearts of dead sinners. You say, how do I know if I believe in Jesus Christ? How do I know if I belong to God? The answer is this, do you repent? That's the work of God in you. Repent. You say, well, what does it mean to repent? Well, repent is when God works in you a change of your heart, a change toward God, so that you no longer stand in arrogance before Him or unbelief before Him, but you bow before Him, crushed in your heart over sin and desiring to know Him in Jesus Christ. Repentance is when God works in you a change toward your sin. You no longer look at your sin as justifiable, pleasurable. You don't simply say, well, I'm not as bad as some, and perhaps a little better than most. No, you see yourself as a sinner, lost and helpless. You change toward yourself. You no longer live simply for yourself, but seeing your sin as something detestable before God, and seeing God as altogether lovely and sufficient. You turn from that sin, and by the grace of God you trust in Jesus Christ alone. You know Him by faith as your Savior. But maybe you're saying to me, well, I could listen to all of this and I'll evaluate it, but there's one thing that I haven't really liked about what you've said today. I have not liked the tone that you have had of absolute certainty over these things. It would be okay if you would invite me to entertain the thought that perhaps Christianity is a viable solution to man's problems, that Christianity certainly finds its place among the different efforts of men to improve life. But when you call me to believe that Christianity in its gospel of God and of sin and of Christ is the only truth, I don't like that. What right do you have, you say to me, to make such absolute statements, statements which exclude, or indeed I do again declare to you, that there are no other gods, that you are a sinner before God who cannot save yourself unless God saves you, and that Jesus alone can save. I declare it absolutely. But you say, how do you dare do that? My authority, or the authority, is God's Word. The Bible is the Word of God. It cannot be broken. It is word for word, the Word of God, who cannot lie. All Scripture says the Bible is given by inspiration of God. The Bible is the truth. The Bible declares the truth that God is the only God, that you are a sinner, and that Jesus Christ alone is saved. Bow down before Him. Love and serve Him. Trust in Him. God must work in you. God must, by His will, form you in your heart, that you turn from your own sin, and you confess your own pride, and you look to this true and living God who has promised that He will despise none who come to Him through Jesus Christ. Read His Word. Get a Bible and read the Bible. Attend church. Attend the church, and here's how you determine what church to attend, which preaches to you the Word of God, which centers its message in God, not in man. And bow down. Oh, by the grace of God, may you bow down in this wonder, that God is the true God, who has loved me in Jesus Christ and given His Son for me. Do you know that? That's the truth. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word, and we pray for its blessing upon our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.